A lot of women don't feel safe in certain countries after 10 p.m. to walk out because, you know, Dubai is very safe.
No.
What is your take on solo traveling?
It's for everyone, no.
She's a life coach. She's been training individuals, influencers, all kinds of people, royalty. And she's an amazing person. Eileen Mai.
Thank you so much.
Which is the place where you felt the most unsafest?
Bali, actually.
Something very surprising, sort of a cultural experience.
That has to be Varanasi in India.
While traveling, you were scammed of something.
They booked accommodation and the accommodation was never there when they arrived.
A website which I came across, it gives you 50% discount in newly opened hotels.
Websites, and it says 200 people are currently looking at this room. Do you think it's true?
Welcome to License to Explore. This is where we uncover travel destinations with our guests and go around the world. Today, we have an amazing guest, Eileen Mai, who's a transformation coach. She splits her time between London and Dubai. And I had a great opportunity to invite her to the studio. She's a CEO, entrepreneur, runs her own company. Let's welcome Eileen Mai to License to Explore. Hello, Eileen. How are you?
Hello. Thank you so much. I'm super excited for today.
How was your day today? How do you feel?
It's brilliant. I feel really pumped. I had my hair done, especially for this, especially for you. And I put my nicest frock on.
Nice. You really look pretty with this shining golden outfit. It matches your hair and your personality.
Thank you. And so do you. Someone else has stepped up today as well. I love it.
We have to. We are on a License to Explore, where we uncover travel journeys and stories and share secrets a la James Bond style.
Amazing. You're embodying it today.
Absolutely. It's a pleasure. It's so amazing to have you on the show today. I'm very excited to have you here today. And Eileen, before we jump into other things, I just wanted to ask you, how did this travel bug really start for you? When did you really start traveling, or when did this all begin?
I think my parents have a lot to do with this. So from a very young age, they were both teachers. So we had summer holidays off, we had half terms off, and every time we had a holiday, we would go somewhere. Whether that was in the UK, whether it was abroad, it would always be time for a holiday. So I think that love and that desire and that bug for traveling started at a really young age.
Great. Eileen, so I see that you are a coach and you coach royalty and you coach all kinds of personalities and celebrities. And what I wanted to understand is, do you think your travel experience has actually helped you shape the way you coach people, or what impact it has made in your coaching journey or your journey overall as such?
That's such a good question. And I think that, so one of the core values of coaching is curiosity. Mm-hmm. And I think when you travel, that sense of curiosity and that sense of learning about other cultures, the way other people live, help build you into the person that you are. So undoubtedly, all of the travel that I've done throughout my life has shaped me as an individual, but also as a coach, because it allows me to understand so many different individuals from all over the world on different levels.
Amazing. Awesome. So what kind of a traveler are you? You know, there are some people who like to splurge in luxury. Some people are like more in on the budget side of travel, but some try to mix it up like between the budget and luxury style. So how would you define your travel personality or your travel style?
Again, a good question. I would say luxury on the outside, budget on the inside, perhaps. So I like to kind of look the part and I like to dress up. And I do like to do nice things when I'm away, without a doubt. However, I'm all about the experiences. So perhaps the budget mixed with the luxury is more me.
That's a great answer. I didn't expect that answer, to be very honest. Because personally for me, I am sometimes willing to splurge on luxury because I believe the experience is what matters. But sometimes I am budget conscious. So it's a mixed personality depending on situation to situation, scenario to scenario, and stuff like that.
Absolutely.
So Eileen, on this show, we ask everybody one very simple question. It's sort of a quick challenge, if I may say. If today without any questions asked, I handed you a first class ticket, where would you go and why?
Okay, I'm going to say Colombia.
Oh, wow.
For two reasons. Number one, it's the next destination I actually really want to go to. And if I flew there first class, I would get to experience all the luxuries because it'd be quite a long flight. So it's twofold.
Great choice. I forgot to mention, but Eileen is a well-traveled person. She's been to more than 40 countries. I've also been to more than 40 countries. So we have that in common. And Eileen, by the way, I've been to Colombia.
I saw the video.
You saw the video. To Bogota, and I must tell you, it's amazing. There's a lot of misconception and perception that it's not safe to go and you have to be very careful. But that applies to anywhere you go in the world, right? I mean, safety, you have to take the common sense and apply the common rules. Okay, let's try to open your travel dossier now and dig more and deeper into some very specific questions about your past travels. So what I want to know is, have you ever traveled somewhere where you had no expectations and very low expectations and it turned out to be something completely different?
Absolutely. I would say that it was Tromsø in Norway, actually. Went there almost completely unprepared. Didn't even know that the sun wasn't going to rise. It was going to be polar night throughout my time there. It was a complete surprise that just the sheer beauty of the place, nothing was really planned, but it was so easy to actually do things when I was there. I did so many fun things there. Went on a boat that was actually a spa, jumped into ice-cold water, climbed mountains, ate the most amazing food. It was just amazing.
Wow. Seems like you checked most of your bucket list items.
Absolutely.
Was there anything remaining or any further desires? Like if you ever went back to that destination, how would you approach it? Would you do anything different? Or
I wouldn't actually do anything different. So we chased the Northern Lights as well. And I think that's a bit of a misconception that people think that when you're in that area, that part of the world, that the Northern Lights are always there. But it's almost a bit like that Twister, the film, that you have to actually chase it to find it when we were there as well. We did see it in the end, the Northern Lights, and it was definitely worth it. But it's not as easy as people think it is.
Wow, Northern Lights. It's definitely something in my bucket list and something I would love to do. And I hope I will find the time and chance
well
to do it.
All
right. So let's talk about maybe, you can tell us about something very surprising, sort of a cultural experience that was very surprising. And it could be from anywhere, not from what we just spoke about.
Mm. I think that has to be Varanasi in India. That place absolutely blew my mind. I knew that it was going to be special because obviously you do the research and you understand how important it is for the people and you understand the spiritual nature of it. But it's not until you're truly there that you get the goosebumps, you know? It's just going down the Ganges when there's just mist on it in the evening and in the morning, and then just seeing the light show and the ceremonies and everything. It's just truly mind-blowing.
Well, guys, I'm actually surprised and amazed because me being from India, I have never been to Varanasi till now. I never had the opportunity, but it's definitely in my bucket list and I will try to find a chance to do it one day.
You must.
And I know recently there was the Mahakumbh and that experience is unmissable, but somehow I couldn't make it this year. But inshallah, like we say here,
absolutely,
in the future, we will definitely. So have you ever had a close call while traveling, like, lost your passport or, something precious or some such incident? Have you ever faced anything like this before?
Yeah, I've had a few. So close call in terms of almost missing a flight, mm-hmm, was in Istanbul. Usually use Ubers or the local equivalents. But for some reason, the hotel insisted that they would get us a taxi. We got in the taxi, but they'd given the wrong airport to them. Two airports in Istanbul. We were driving towards the airport and we were thinking, no, this doesn't look familiar. No, we definitely haven't passed here. Patted the driver, said, can you explain which airport we're going to? Oh, we're going to such and such. No, that's not the airport we need to go to. Quickly had to turn around and really make a fast move towards the other one. That's one occasion. Another occasion that was, not ideal, would you say, is I did get mugged at knife point in Rio de Janeiro. So that wasn't a pleasant experience, let's say. And the other one was, I have been mugged on a bus in Thailand, but everyone else was mugged during that time as well. So all the bags were emptied, basically, of any money.
Wow, it's amazing to hear this. And, you know, when I talk to you, I keep on thinking about my own travel experiences. And Istanbul or Turkey is definitely in my bucket list as well. It's one of the places I've not been to. But I just posted a video recently on my social media where I spoke about a lot of women don't feel safe in certain countries after 10 p.m. to walk out, because, you know, Dubai is very safe and you can walk out at any time and you don't face any challenges as a woman. But I did mention in that places like Kenya where mugging and chain snatching, and I did mention Brazil, so Rio de Janeiro. I think it. I can relate to what you're saying. I can feel you. But Thailand was my least unexpected place that you mentioned, because I've been a lot to Thailand and I never faced any sort of problems or challenges in Thailand. But your story about being mugged in Thailand and the entire bus being mugged in Thailand, can you tell us a little bit more how the trauma was?
I mean, we're going over 20 years ago, so it is a long time ago. So that shows you that I've got, what, 3 bad experiences in that space of time. So generally, travel is always positive, you know? And then the Rio story is a long, long time ago as well. So I think it was due to a bus full of people, everyone backpacks. We were travelers, you know, that we were clearly not wealthy. Everyone had, it was back in the day of travelers checks, actually. So we had travelers checks in our bags, not credit cards, and it was cash. And it had happened to everyone, basically. So I think that knowing that other people were in the same boat as you almost made it a little bit better. But however, this was before mobile phones, really, that we didn't really have a mobile phone with us even. So we had to find a kiosk, and we had to actually call to get some insurance and things like that. So it wasn't as quick as perhaps it would be today.
Right. Traveler's check reminds me of a great company called Thomas Cook. I don't know if they exist today or what's going on with them. Now, let me ask you, like all of us, we travel a lot and we have different experiences while traveling. So one of the common problems or challenges of travel that you face is scammers or being scammed. Has it ever happened to you that while traveling you were scammed of something, or you went through a scam related incident?
It actually hasn't, thankfully. That's an absolute blessing. I know a lot of people that it has happened to, that they've booked accommodation and the accommodation was never there when they arrived, for example. But thankfully, it hasn't happened to me.
Great, that's good. At least you've been able to stay away from scammers, which is an amazing thing.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So having said all that, with all the different incidents you shared with me and the places you've been to, which is the place where you felt the most unsafest out of all your travel experiences till date?
I think that left a bit of a bad taste in my mouth. Would it stop me from going back there 20 years later? No, absolutely not. If you told me, Ellen, pack your bags, we're going to Rio tomorrow, I'd be like, okay, let's go. And I'm sure we'd have a lot of fun as well. But it wouldn't change anything. But I think that did leave a certain bad taste in my mouth because of that. But generally, I think that if you're respectful to the culture, you're making sure that you're looking after yourself, you're respectful to other people, and you keep your wits about you. And I think that as long as you're doing those things and being mindful as well, that you're not going overboard with things and you're not drawing attention to yourself too much, that you can really be safe, you know?
Right.
But as a woman, going back to what you said before, Dubai is such a safe place for women. I 100% agree. Amazing place for women. However, I think as a woman, it never really truly leaves you wherever you are. So you always have to keep your wits about you. Make sure, especially if you're a solo traveler, that, you know, you have, let's say, a driver or that someone is with you, because you never know what's going to happen, you know? So I've got even some stories in Dubai about things that have happened, but it is one of the best places for women.
Yeah, So I can relate to you. And of course, Dubai is one of the safest places for women. And women can walk at night at 4 a.m. with their gold jewelry and nothing is going to happen to them. But yes, like you said, it's common sense. Every place has its own challenges, pros and cons, ups and downs. It's, you know, you have to be careful, mindful. You got to do the right thing and you got to take precautions. Right? I'm sure what you experienced 20 years back, things have evolved. Today we are in the age of internet, social media. The awareness is more and people can, you know, make a video about it and make a story about it and shame the person if they have to. So obviously, I think going back to Rio de Janeiro, you'll have a different experience.
Amazing. Is that an offer?
You can consider it to be one. And I have not been to Rio de Janeiro. So it's going to be a great trip and it's going to be a great experience. You know, like every country has rules. And sometimes as tourists, we don't know the rules. Like, you know, now you live in Dubai, so you know the rules in Dubai. But maybe if you came to Dubai without knowing the rules or any other country where you've been to, Dubai is not a country, it's a city.
Yeah.
But if you traveled anywhere, and did you face any time some weird rule that you didn't know about while in your travels, like any weird rules you came across?
The one that kind of made me wonder why was when I was in Singapore and the anti-durian signs were everywhere that you weren't allowed to consume durian in taxis, you weren't allowed to consume it in some public places. And we just had to look into it because I didn't understand why. Because there were pictures of this delicious looking fruit everywhere, but it was with a big cross in between it all the time, you know, so you weren't allowed to. So that was a strange one, I've got to say.
Yeah, Singapore is an amazing city. I've been there and had a lot of fun. And I understand why this rule for durian exists, because obviously the smell is very strong and it might not be for everyone's liking and it can create some discomfort, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. So let's talk about, when you travel, of course, you interact with a lot of people. You spoke about taxi drivers or hotel staff, reception, local people. So where in your travels have you come across the most kindest people and you felt like, oh, wow, this is amazing, and it kind of surprised you? The kindness surprised you.
Do you know what? That's such a difficult question, because I think other people's kindness come from how you treat them in the first place. Because I've seen, let's say, staff at hotels and people that drive you, taxi drivers, react very differently, for example, to someone who's not nice with them, to someone who comes at them with kindness to begin with. So that's a difficult question, in the sense that for anyone that's actually thinking about traveling, if you respect whoever you're talking to, they will respect you back. I mean, I've never had such great service as I've had in India, for example. You know, that is above and beyond, for example. But everywhere that I go, really, everyone is so willing to help, so willing to be accommodating, always greeting with a smile.
Right. Guys, I think there's a very important takeaway with what Eileen just mentioned right now. It's a two-way street. If you want kindness, you have to be kind also. Don't expect to get kindness if you are not behaving in the right manner. And like you said, a smile can go a long way. So always keep smiling and you will definitely have a warm welcome and reception. So Eileen, let's touch base about solo traveling. You know, me as an individual and you as well, you have been doing a lot of solo traveling. What is your recommendation, or do you think solo traveling is very good or very bad? What is your take on solo traveling, and would you recommend everyone to solo travel, or how do you want to respond to this?
Yeah, I'll kick off on your question on whether everyone should do it.
Yeah,
it's not for everyone.
Right.
If you're not the kind of person who is willing to put yourself in uncomfortable situations, willing to perhaps talk to people, put yourself out there, then it's possibly not for you. If you're the kind of person who likes to do things by yourself, loves interacting with new people, kind of get up when you want, go to bed when you want, then I think it's absolutely perfect for you. I think for me as a solo traveler,
I come back with so many friends, you know, I've got so many new phone numbers, so many new people in my life that I talk to everyone. And I think you're probably the same as well, that it just, you know, people kind of come to you almost when you're a solo traveler. But I don't think it's for everyone, no.
Right, I agree with Aline. Solo travel is not for everyone, and we can have our own preferences. And if you're shy or the kind of person who doesn't like crowds or doesn't want to interact with people and make new friends, so it can sometimes be challenging. But the fun of solo traveling is unparalleled, and I feel that everyone should solo travel, whether even if they're meant for it or not meant for it, because that's how you learn, you evolve, you grow, your personality changes, because travel has changed me. I've been traveling for over 20 years to more than 40 countries. It's opened my mind. It's exposed me to different cultures and different people. Great. So, Aline, I want to talk to you about some travel tips and tricks, some hacks that you want to share with people and what you do to make travel more comfortable for yourself. So let's begin by asking you, maybe you can tell us about a travel hack that you think that most people don't know. Like maybe you know a travel hack that you feel that no one else knows.
I think for me, one of the main things that I always do is when I'm looking at either a hotel, restaurant, destination, I look at their feed first of all, but then I go to their tagged photos. The tagged photos will tell you the truth about what the actual hotel or the location is like, because they won't be the professional glossy photos that you see that them basically promoting. So have a look what people are saying about it, what their feedback is in their tagged photos. I think that for me gives a really good indication of what it's actually going to be like, because it's come from the people that are actually visiting it.
Yes, I think she's right. Seeing is believing, because if you go to the hotel's website or even sometimes in Google reviews, a lot of reviews don't do justice. So looking at the pictures, the real pictures that people have taken gives you a much better perspective and gives you much more clarity, right? And often we make mistakes while traveling and we tend to book the wrong hotels, and this happens to a lot of us. But this is a good hack to actually overcome this, right? So now that we spoke about this and you shared with us about going to places, hotels and restaurants or whatever, do you have any tricks, or how do you book your flights? Is there a hack that you have to book the cheapest flights, or what's your process of booking flights?
Do you know what, Rohit? I'm not a very good planner. And that comes with my lack of patience, okay? If I decide that I'm going to go traveling, it's usually quite a quick decision. So I book a flight and then I have multiple windows open, for example. I'll compare. Skyscanner might be open. The official website might be open. I might see where I can get points by using on a certain website as well. So I'll do a bit of a comparison, but I'll limit it to 3, for example, because I think too much information and too much planning for me, I don't know for anyone listening, is just too overwhelming. And I think that for travel, if you commit to something quite quickly, and I'm not saying, you know, don't look at various different prices, but if you, once you've committed to it, you can start planning the rest of the holiday. I think so many people hold back because they want to get the perfect flight price, and it might only be 100 dirhams difference in the end, but they've wasted too much time.
Yes, I agree with you. Flight price is important, and also flight schedule, because sometimes you don't get the right flight schedule. You're either landing at a wrong time, or, you know, you're arriving too early to check into your hotel, and those kind of things make an impact. But, you know, these days, these airline websites, and you mentioned all these other booking sites, they actually track you. They use cookies and all that. So one hack that I've been using is using incognito mode, searching in incognito mode, because that kind of hides your search history. So I feel that works, because you see that if you are trying to look for the same flight multiple times, there's a tendency that the fare keeps going up and you fail to understand why is the fare going up. So you have to use sometimes these tricks to book flights at the right price. I'm not saying the flight should be cheap, but you have to pay the right price. You know, if the right price is $1,000, you don't want to end up paying $1,300 or $1,500, right? Okay, you don't want it for $800, but at least it should come in that range where it's meant to be, right?
Absolutely. And is that because you're 007 as well, though, that you go incognito?
That's the secret. You know, we have to do things which are off the radar sometimes to get the best results. Right. Same thing, same question literally for hotels. Do you have any special way of booking hotels?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'll have something like Agoda open, I'll have TripAdvisor open, I'll have Expedia open, and I'll have the official website open, because places like hotels.com and all of these other websites usually add 20% on, or the hotel loses 20% in commission. If you go directly to the hotel, and even if they've got a WhatsApp option, I'll often WhatsApp them to say, can you give me your best price, please? If they reply with the best price, I'll go straight with them, basically. So do it all in one go. Have your windows open. See which one you can go for and book it right there and then.
Awesome. That's a great tip. So usually I feel that using hotel websites, especially if you have loyalty memberships like with IHG or with Hilton or with Marriott, it works very well because you get to redeem points. Sometimes you get to earn more points. Sometimes booking with these other sites like trip.com, booking.com, hotel.com has its own challenges. Like you said, the price might be more, but it's kind of very hard to understand because at times their fares are good, their prices are good. And I think that's because of unsold rooms, because they tend to block a big block of rooms, and
yeah,
sometimes you get, and sometimes the difference is pretty huge. Mm. But sometimes they have these special offers, like they have coupons. You know, you can go to the browser and look for coupon codes, which might get you added discounts. But yeah, you have to do your research and do the right way of booking. And there is a website which I came across, which is called Disloyalty, which is the opposite of loyalty.
Mm-hmm.
Right, it's a membership-based service. And what it does is that it gives you 50% discount in newly opened hotels. Right, so hotels that are just brand new and people are not aware of, and it's only active in certain countries, but it works pretty well. So that's another hack you can use, is try to look for hotels which are brand new, and you might be surprised that you'll get some great deals there.
That's an amazing tip. Can I ask you a question, whether this
sure.
is true as well? So when you're on these websites and it says 200 people are currently looking at this room, do you think it's true?
I don't think it's true. It's just to build the curiosity, because they tell you only two rooms remaining at this price and things like that. But that's human psychology. That's the way for them to hook you on to press that button now, you know?
Absolutely,
it's a marketing technique. It's a marketing gimmick.
Yeah.
Maybe it's true, maybe it's not, but I don't believe in it. And I still do my own thing. Like, even if it says two rooms left, I'll leave it if I have to leave it. If I have to book it, I'll book it. So
yeah,
for me, it's that decision that I have to make based on my own situation. And if I have to really book, I'll book. I will not follow that alert which they will put on my screen.
Yeah,
you know.
Amazing. Love it.
So, Eileen, usually when you travel, how do you find places? You know, I mean, I know a lot of people use Google, but I think you don't find the best places on Google. Probably you have some better tips to share with our audience on how to find the right places, whether it's hotels, restaurants, or experiences when you travel, or even if, when you live in Dubai or London.
Absolutely. So my go-to is Condé Nast Traveler, because when you go on Condé Nast Traveler, it will show you the top luxury places or even the top things to do in a destination. Now, you may not be able to afford to do all of those things. So what I recommend doing is you can still visit them, perhaps have one drink there, perhaps just go and see what the place is like in terms of ambiance. But I just like to go and see those places and spend some time there. You might not be staying there, but you can actually still go there and experience those either food places or hotels as well.
Guys, this is a great tip. Condé Nast Traveler is something you guys can also use and enhance your travel experiences, or even in your own city, go for a drink or go for a nice meal, whatever you know you feel like. So, Eileen, you know, recently I posted a video and it got a lot of curiosity. And my video was about, if you want to go to an island, don't go to Maldives, go to Thailand instead. I don't know if you saw the video. So I know you've been to Maldives. Do you have like a cheap hack to go to Maldives, and how can somebody economize on a crazy trip to Maldives?
Absolutely. I always thought that going to the Maldives was something you did on a honeymoon, or that you did if you had unlimited amounts of money. However, you can actually get a flight from Abu Dhabi to the Maldives for around about 1,000 AED. So you can get...
Are you kidding me?
No, look it up. You can get a
$300.
Flight. Yeah. Get a flight to the Maldives for 1,000. What you then need to do, so you fly into Mali, then
you'd get a boat to one of the local islands. So there's an island called Mafushi. So in the Maldives, most of the islands have got resorts on them. And these are the expensive resorts that you see online that jut out into the sea. Mafushi is a local island with various hotels on it. So you can actually have a budget trip in the Maldives that you've got a cheap flight, cheap hotel. But what you then can do, if you do want to live a bit of that luxury life, is you can actually get a day pass to some of these luxury resorts and still have that Maldives experience.
Wow, that's amazing. I never knew that. And now I learned that I can actually get there for $300 and choose an underrated island and have a great time. I look forward to, you know, replicating your mantra.
Absolutely.
And following that. Awesome. So what do you think is a common mistake people make while traveling? Do you have some opinion about that?
I think people perhaps don't plan enough before going.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I said I don't plan a lot, I mean plan what they're going to wear, what they're going to take with them, and then the planning when they get there. I think it's essential that if you go for a relatively long trip, that you've almost got your first 3 days planned. I usually like to plan where I'm going to eat, you know, the places that I want to see for the first kind of 3 days, maybe 2.5 days even. By then, I've talked to people, I found out more about the local culture, other people have told me where I should go. But I think that to have that initial time where you know where you're going to go is essential.
Awesome. And that brings me to a very important question is, do you have like a recommendation on how to pack for a flight? Like if I'm going with just a carry-on, and I want to bring it on my flight, is there like a tip or a hack that you have for packing for a flight?
Okay, how long is this podcast?
Seems like it's going to go forever. But
so packing is so important to me. Even when I'm traveling between London and Dubai, I spend so much time planning my outfits, therefore planning my packing. I've got mood boards, for example, for all my looks.
You're a stylist, right?
Yes, exactly. So I've got mood boards for all my looks. I photographed them all. Therefore, I do not take anything that I won't wear during the trip. I'm mixing and matching things, so I'm making sure that they're used, but they're used in different ways. I think one of the biggest mistakes people make when they pack or go on holiday is they look at, let's say they're going to a hot climate, so they look at their hot clothes and think, yeah, okay, let's just push them all in and hope for the best. When they get there, nothing ends up working together. And when they end up looking at their vacation holidays, they kind of think, oh gosh, what was I thinking? I did not think this through properly. It's a typical kind of holiday look. So I think that planning, even if you're going for a casual hiking holiday, planning what you're going to wear in advance is absolutely key. So when you plan, you'll only take the essentials.
Great. So, I mean, it's a paradox. It's kind of like something which is different for different people. Do you tend to overpack sometimes?
I never overpack because I've always got a set weight limit, so I can't overpack. I'm not going to lie, I have paid for excess baggage before, but that was possibly because I bought gifts back. But what I try and tend to do is I try and put some heavier things in my hand luggage. I'm supposed to or not supposed to, I don't know. I put heavier things in my hand luggage that take some of the burden off my main piece of luggage. So my hand luggage is almost as heavy as my main piece of luggage because I put all the heavy things in there.
Right. This is probably a women's question, but should people actually wear jewelry while traveling or pack a lot of jewelry or what is, because you all spoke about some of the travel incidents you had, keeping that in mind and keeping everything else in mind. What's your take on jewelry and traveling?
I think, again, you have to be mindful and careful. So if you've got very, very expensive jewelry, probably leave it at home. You know, you probably can live without it for 2 weeks. If you've got a watch, for example, that you wear every day, you know, I wear a smartwatch. It counts my steps, for example. I probably wouldn't live without this. Big piece of expensive jewelry, yes, I would recommend leaving at home. Statement jewelry, costume jewelry, things like this, yes, you can take with you, because I'm telling you, Rohit, I would not be sitting here today without my dangly earrings.
Awesome. You look amazing with all that jewelry.
Thank you.
Right. Let's go into a different area. I see that you shuttle a lot of time between Dubai and London. And what actually made you choose Dubai? And how do you compare Dubai to London? And what's your take on both these places and, you know, your experience of living out of these two cities?
That's a great question. Firstly, I would say I'm blessed to be able to live out of the two countries because they're so very different to each other, not just from a cultural perspective, from a weather perspective, obviously, mm-hmm. and from an opportunities perspective. So I almost spend equal time in both of them, so in London and Dubai. I think for me, Dubai, because it's still a relatively new country, feels like the land of opportunity. When I come here, I feel pumped. I feel excited. You know, I'm always smiling, always happy because I'm always talking to people. I'm always doing things like this, appearing on podcasts, and everything new is popping up all the time. I'm blessed to live in London. Again, it's a massively culturally diverse city. It has got brilliant cuisine based on, you know, lots of changes within kind of British cuisine over the last few years. It's not as bad as everyone thinks. It is open and welcome to kind of, you know, other people as well, which I like. And, you know, I just like the difference. I think that I'm blessed to be able to have that.
Amazing. Like she said, Dubai is a real land of opportunities. Actually, I feel like Dubai is how the United States was in the 1980s,
mm-hmm.
right? So people used to say, living the American dream. Nowadays, people are living the Dubai dream, right?
Absolutely,
so,
yeah.
It's truly a land of opportunities. It's very modern. It's got so much going on. There's always something to do. The adoption of technology is so rapid and high here that you feel like really, you know, in the best place in the world, right? London, I've been there. I spent some time briefly because I went for a trade show and my experience is limited with London because you only had a few days. We went to Birmingham, but I did enjoy the cuisine there, especially the Indian cuisine and the curry houses or the Balti houses.
You can't beat it in Birmingham. Birmingham and Manchester, absolutely spot on. Amazing.
So what's the myth? Is chicken tikka masala from UK or from India? I don't know.
I think it's from the UK. It has to be, doesn't it?
Being an Indian, I would beg to differ, but we never know.
I think it's a combination, isn't it?
It's right. I think they took our tikka and they converted it into a tikka masala, which kind of like is an innovation in terms of cuisine and stuff like that. Right. So you spoke about Dubai and London and you spoke about the luxury and all of that stuff. If you had to choose, not just Dubai, London, but anywhere else in the world, a single place to spend the next 1 year of your life, which would that be and why?
That's a good question because I would have said Dubai, but I'm gonna be clever then with this. Mm-hmm. And think about wellness, perhaps. And I might say Bali, actually.
Awesome. Bali is a great place. I haven't been there, but it's on my bucket list. And hopefully soon, and we'll share some travel
highly
stories.
Highly recommend it. It's amazing.
Highly recommend it. Right. So, I mean, you spoke about sometimes you tend to mix your travel persona with luxury and budget. And if you have to recommend to our guests, what's the most affordable and underrated country that you have visited? Which one would that be?
Oof, that's another great question. I would say that I did thoroughly enjoy my time in Beirut when I went there. It was incredibly beautiful at the time. People were incredibly nice. And it was probably one of those places that, can I tell you a secret?
Sure, go ahead.
I went there because I wanted to go to a restaurant. I solely wanted to go there because this beautiful restaurant called Lisa with the most amazing decor popped up all the time in my social media. So I really wanted to go there because of that. I was lucky enough to be able to go to that restaurant when I was there, but I was so amazed by everything else as well. So it was, yeah, truly magical.
Wow, Lisa is in my bucket list. Now, I've been to Beirut. It's a beautiful city. The energy of the city is something else altogether. What I love about Lebanon and Beirut is there's a lot of nature there. So you get to see mountains, hills, beaches, you know, very interesting touristy sites, ancient cities. You know, it's truly fascinating, and I would love to go back. I've been there a few times for work, and I always enjoyed going there. And that's one place I always want to go back to.
Yeah, beautiful.
It's amazing,
yeah.
amazing place. Right. So again, similar to that question, what's a lesser known travel destination? Like you spoke about Lebanon and Beirut, which of course very popular and people know about it. But is there a lesser known travel destination that you feel people should visit and it's underrated? And do you have anything on that?
I think for me, and this is only because I don't know a lot of people that have done it, is Jordan was one of my favorite places I've ever been to. Wadi Rum, Petra, Little Petra. Honestly, I am a big sci-fi fan, okay? I love sci-fi movies. So to be able to go to Wadi Rum, where some of my favorite movies ever have been filmed, the vastness of the Red Desert, I stayed in the place where the pod hotel. So at night, you would lay down in your bed, you'd have a remote control, and the roof would open, basically, so you could see the night sky as well. I think I'm a desert person by heart. So, you know, it was just absolutely magical. So I think that if someone's looking for a bucket list trip, I would highly recommend it. But remember to get your walking shoes, because still to this day, Rohit, that is the most I walked in one day when I was in Petra. 33 kilometers in one day in Petra. Yeah. So there's a lot of walking, but the beauty of it is unmatched.
Oh, guys, I've not been to Jordan, and it's definitely in my bucket list. And I think you should add it to Wadi Rum, Petra. They all sound extremely amazing experiences to have. Right. So let's try to understand. I think that... sensing from whatever you're telling me that you are some sort of a foodie by heart. You enjoy food because you went all the way to explore a restaurant in Lebanon, and thanks to your social media feeds, they're doing something right with Facebook ads or whatever they're doing to reach your attention. So now it's a tricky question, but if you could only eat one cuisine for the rest of your life, what would that be?
I think it has to be Middle Eastern for me. So perhaps Persian origin food, for example. It's that diversity of that food. So I'm vegetarian as well. So that offers so much option for me. And the depth of taste and flavor, I could eat that forever.
Great. That's a great choice. Middle Eastern food is amazing, especially Persian-influenced food. And there's so many options here in Dubai, but all over the world. We touched upon this a little bit earlier, but I wanted to still pick your mind on how travel contributes to your personal development, because you did speak briefly about it. Can you elaborate a little bit more and give us some real examples of how travel has actually shaped you as a person?
Absolutely. So I think that for me, I went traveling around the world when I graduated, bought a round the world ticket for $1,600. Yeah.
Wow.
That's all it cost at that point. Went around the world, took about 4 or 5 months to do it.
You did that actually?
I did that straight after graduating. So it was an amazing experience. So I'd graduated, worked hard for 4 years, and then me and my travel companion went around the world, stopped off in various different places, had the most amazing experiences, not just from a cultural perspective, but from a growing up perspective as well. You know, we'd been to university. We were pretty free at university. But going to these places, Thailand, Japan, Mexico, Rio, even went to Vegas on that trip as well. So we did so many different things and exposed us to so many different cultures. It opened our eyes because it made us realize that people are people at the end of the day, wherever they are. However, people do operate in slightly different ways. So, for example, in some cultures, doing business, let's say, over breakfast is a no-no. Doing breakfast over lunch, doing a business over lunch, for example, is a big yes. So you learn a lot about people when you're going around these places, how people interact, whether small talk is a done thing or whether it's not. So from a business perspective, it really did help me as well understand how different cultures operate.
Well, That's amazing. Yeah, I mean, business over breakfast is common in quite few places, but it's not acceptable everywhere because they think it's their own private time and all of that stuff, right? So around the world, how many days did you actually take to complete this trip?
So it was about a four-month trip in total, basically, yeah.
And you covered how many countries in this trip?
We went to Thailand, the USA, Japan. We went Central America, Cuba, South America. The only place we weren't allowed to go because it was just outside of our flight allowance was Hawaii. We did want to go to Hawaii, but we weren't allowed to. But I recently looked, Rohit, and Star Alliance, who we went with all those years ago, still do a ticket now. So 16 stops, and it's about $5,500 for 16 stops, which I think that if you're someone that wants to go around the world, that's actually a great price.
Yeah, I mean, this is amazing. I didn't know this ticket exists with Star Alliance. For $5,500. You can go to 16 different places, yeah? And from the places you mentioned, I've not been to Japan, but yes, I've been to USA. I've not been to some of the Central American countries. Love to go there. So definitely I'm going to look up this ticket and see if it makes sense or, you know, when I'll be able to do it, because it's also about finding so much time at hand and doing the whole trip. So what lessons from your traveling do you apply to your coaching business, and how has it helped you shape your offerings and services as a coach from your travel? How do you apply that to your coaching life?
Great question. I think diversity is incredibly important to me. So being able to understand people from different cultures, different parts of the world, how they've possibly got to where they are from a cultural perspective, from the expectations that are put upon them, that to me has put me in such good stead to be a coach, because it allows me to come from a place of no judgment. I'm able to interact with different people. And even on my own podcast, you know, you'll see the diversity of the people that are on it. It's just, it's very important to me because I think that it allows you to be able to listen to people on a really deep level.
Great. Let's try to understand, Elin, as a coach. I understand you coach celebrities, royalty, influencers, all kind of people, and you're also a stylist and you do styling. So what are your services that you offer to different kind of profile of people? And if you don't mind sharing, like if they want to like get into your coaching umbrella, what steps they need to take? And also if you can give some indication on little price points, you don't have to be specific, but high level maybe, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm a transformation coach. So I work with individuals and businesses for people who want to level up. So how I explain it is, if you're a top athlete, for example, and let's say Djokovic, he doesn't get rid of his coaches when he's at the top of his game. He levels up even more. So that's what I do. I'm working with these top professionals to get them to where they want to be and ensure that they stay at that level as well. So with my coaching style, I work with people on an individual basis. I see them in person. We do so many different things. So I find out exactly where they are now, where they want to go. And I think that for me, the joy I've had over my career, which is about coming up to 22, 23 years now, that transformation of people has been at the core of everything that I do. So from a style perspective, I work with individuals, seeing where they are now, turning up the volume a little bit on their style to get them where they want to be. And the same thing as well when it comes to coaching. So hopefully people kind of come to me because they appreciate that when I'm with them, that's all that matters basically. And I am their biggest supporter and their biggest advocate. And my energy hopefully comes across and they get to where they want to be.
Awesome. That's amazing. So typically your programs, your coaching programs, what is the ideal duration of the programs? Is it like very customizable, or is there like, you know, a specific time frame or like a minimum time frame that a person has to be under your wing to get this sort of coaching?
So 6 weeks is the ideal, or six sessions, let's say, is the ideal.
Now, someone could come to me with something. For example, let's say you come to me, Rohit, and you say, okay, Elaine, I really need now to elevate my business to take it to the next level, but I'm stuck, I'm stagnant, I don't know where I'm going. Through those six sessions, then I work with you on a bespoke plan from week to week or bi-weekly that will get you to exactly where you want to go. Now, coaching is non-directive unless there's a knowledge gap. So it's about you doing the thinking and the talking and me there actually guiding you. So I'm not the kind of coach either that doesn't give you homework. I give you homework from one session to the next to keep you engaged. So you've got contact to me in between those sessions as well, but it keeps you engaged through the whole process. The kind of, you know, clients that I work with, they can be entrepreneurs. Like you said, they can be royalty. I've worked with Nobel Prize winners even. Again, at the heart of it, people are people. And that's, I think, why people do like having me as a coach, because I realize that they are individuals. And having worked in that kind of luxury sector for the majority of my career, I understand the expectations, the demands that are put upon people.
Great. So would you like to tell our audience some of the famous people that have been going through your coaching programs?
I'm not allowed to mention all names.
NDAs.
Yes, all right. NDAs, exactly.
Yeah. We respect that,
Yeah.
So, Elaine, tell me about your life in Dubai. You spend a lot of time in Dubai because you shuttle between London and Dubai. And how do you spend your time here? And what's your typical routine or your ideal day? How do you go about it?
My days are quite long here, I'm not going to lie. I work out in the morning, then I start my day pretty early. I'm on the laptop immediately. For the last 2 weeks, I've actually been teaching a group of 25 people, empowering them to become the best versions of themselves and teaching them how to become personal stylists. I've appeared on 3 podcasts in the last 3 weeks as well. So my days are pretty busy. I really like to challenge myself when I'm here. So because I come here for a set period of time, my schedule is pretty tight when I'm here. That doesn't mean that I don't like to live on a budget while I'm here, though, as well. There's a great place where I have to have lunch almost every day. It's called Foul Hummus. Do you know it?
Yes, yes.
Yes, it does amazing falafel sandwiches. I'm going back to food, I know, but it's getting close towards lunchtime, so Foul Hummus is calling me. So food is super important here. This evening, I'm going to go out and sample a couple of new places that have just opened in the Palm as well. So I think that that's what I particularly like about my time here, is getting dressed up, going out, talking to people and sampling all these amazing new places.
Awesome. That's great. It's good to know how you spend your day and your time in Dubai. So, Elaine, I want to get to you with a sort of a rapid fire situation.
Okay, I'll set up for this. Okay.
Okay,
I'm ready.
So it's very simple. It's there's no correct answer. It's just your choices. Okay. So we'll start by, you have to choose one, okay? And we go very quick and we want your quick, spontaneous response.
One answer, yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, fine.
You choose one between window seat or aisle seat?
Aisle.
Great. Luxury hotel or cozy boutique stay?
Has to be luxury.
Adventure trip or relaxing getaway?
In the middle.
Solo travel or group travel?
Oh, I don't want to be awkward, but just with one travel companion is my favorite.
Well, that's a very new take on it. Sunrise flight or red eye overnight sleep?
Sunrise always.
Great. Planned itinerary or spontaneous trips?
In between.
Mountains or beaches?
Beaches always.
I thought you said deserts.
Oh, that's deserts! Oh, secret answer.
Big city or off the grid escapes?
A mixture.
Okay. Backpack or suitcase?
Oh, suitcase.
5-star restaurant or street food?
5-star restaurants.
Okay, great. So now we'll turn it around a bit. So this will be more like, would you rather? Mm. Okay. So I'll give you options and you pick, would you rather do this or that? Okay. Yeah. Would you rather be stuck on an airport for 24 hours or lose your baggage for a week?
Airport, because I have lost my bag for a week when I was in Vietnam and I had to wear a brown vest and denim shorts for nearly a week and I nearly cried every single day. It was just horrible.
It was a nightmare.
Horrible.
only visit tropical beaches or snowy mountains for the rest of your life.
Beaches.
Okay. Travel for free, but never choose the destination, or always pay full price and get to choose your destination.
Come on, travel for free.
Well, you don't get to choose the destination.
No, that's the beauty of it.
Okay. Never use a map again, or never speak the local language.
I never speak the local language. Yeah.
No, you have to use the map to get.
Yeah. Yeah.
Visit only places you've been to before, or never visit the places you've been to before.
Never visit. So I would always want somewhere new. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Now, this one is more like one and only. Okay. So the one destination everyone should visit before they die.
I'm pausing here.
It's okay. Take your time.
It's a difficult one. I think maybe it is India, actually.
Really? Yeah. Wow. I'm amazed with your answer, yeah, to be honest. The one travel experience that has changed your life?
The traveling that I did when I graduated from university, I think.
Great. The one country that still surprises you every time you go there?
I think maybe it's the Middle East, so the UAE in particular, because the speed of growth.
Right. One thing you always buy is a souvenir wherever you go.
At one time, my parents had this cupboard at home. The cupboard was full of things from everyone's travels, so I had to buy something from every destination I'd ever been to. So you can imagine that when I go traveling and do multi-destination, I have to buy another piece of luggage to carry all of these. It's usually quite small, but it has to be different to everything else that's on the cabinet as well.
Right. So usually I've been collecting fridge magnets or shot glasses, or actually I was once upon a time, and even still do, collect the souvenir spoons. Have you seen those?
Yeah.
They're beautiful, aren't they? Right. The one thing you always forget to pack.
Mosquito stuff. And I always get bitten. So I don't know why. It's
mosquito repellent.
Ellen,
you absolutely crushed it. It was amazing having you on the show. So where can listeners follow your journey?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm on YouTube under Ellen Mai. You can see my videos there. I'm on LinkedIn, same name again. And then on Instagram, it's the company that I'm CEO of. It's Style Doctors.
I'm going to make sure to plug all Eileen's channels to connect with her. That's a wrap on this episode of License to Explore. If you enjoyed listening to this episode, please do follow us, give us a like and subscribe to stay tuned to more such videos coming, and see you in the next episode.
Thank you.
Thank you.